know why, but, well, I do know why. But I feel like I want to say something here. And I think sometimes we can see somebody and hear somebody so long that it becomes familiar with them that it's just like water on a duck's back. It just goes over us and it just rolls out. And we fail to sometimes, many times, receive a powerful instruction that God has for us. And so this morning, I feel like sharing something with you. And then Heath can do what he wants to. I feel like sharing something with you. God has a powerful purpose for your life. Turn to somebody and say, God has a plan for my life. Now, we often say that, but I often hear this, well, I don't know what that plan is. Then your best interest would be to go on to know the Lord closer, walk closer with Him, and I promise you this, He'll reveal to you the plan and purpose He has for your life. I know the plans I have for you, the Lord says, to give you a future and to give you a hope. How many knows that God is about giving you a future and a hope? God is about blessing your life, not subtracting from your life or removing from your life. God is about adding to your life. You know, Jesus says, I come to give you life, and not just life, but John 10 says life and life more abundantly. How many knows that God wants you to experience abundant life, not just to live or not hang on by a thread or, and I hear people all the time saying, oh, how are you doing? I'm just barely making it, Pastor R. I believe God wants us to move through this life and the purpose and plan He has for us, and not just in the mode of just making it. I'm barely getting by. God wants you to be blessed. Listen, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Can you believe that? Amen. So God has a purpose for us. Not only does He have a purpose for us individually, but He has a purpose and plan for this ministry. It's not strange where God has placed us. It's not strange where God has placed us, the vision that He has placed within this body. And not because this body is a part of a greater, wider, vast, reaching body, which is the body of Christ. We're all a part of the body of Christ. We're just a little corner here. We're just a little speck here, and all being a part of that great body. That is a part of the body of Christ. So God has not only purpose for you, but He has purpose for this ministry to reach, to make an impact, to incite change, to affect change upon a community, upon a world around us. How many sees that? Jesus, He could have saved you. Watch me now, watch me. He could have saved you and took you right to heaven. Right then, He could have saved you and carried you off just like Elijah did in a chariot. But He didn't. He left you here, Val. Why did He leave you here? So you can affect change in a world around you. Do you see that? Do you see that? God has called you to affect change, to bring a dimension of hope and joy and peace to a world that's broken and fallen apart. Oh, let's quit looking at the world that's fallen apart and let's start looking at solutions. Let's start looking at the deeper thing that God has called us to, and that's to affect change. That's to bring change. Bring change. Oh, I know we don't like change. Sometimes we don't like change. So this morning, I'm going to share just a word. And there's two places, Mark and the book of Luke. And I know down through the years, I've ministered many times on this. There's other ministers here, I know, and I've heard he share about this different times. But hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But this is something you got to wrap your heart around. You know, sometimes people feel because they have opposition in their faith that they're doing something wrong. And by the way, Heath, your mom, Mrs. R, Jenny, your mom, Mrs. R, Miss Kathy, gave me a Jesus rebuke this week. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a Jesus rebuke is, you know, that's, and she didn't realize that she gave me a Jesus rebuke, but she really did give me a Jesus rebuke. And you know, I stood up inside and I listened to that Jesus rebuke she had with it, because, you know, we were just battling the devil all week long. How many's ever had weeks that you just fight the devil all week long? You're slashing the sword just like this, you know, you're just battling the devil all week long. Anybody ever, some of you sitting there like a knot on a log, okay? How many knows what I'm talking about? Have you ever had a moment that you battle the devil in your mind and your thoughts, and you know, you're just trying to fight, and I thought, this is what I said. Can you believe this? As many times, Jody, as I preached this, I said this. I really did. So right now, you can call me out, okay? This is what I said. What am I doing wrong? Oh, that is the thing you don't want to say in front of a person of faith, Josh, in front of a person of faith, because Mrs. R heard me and she says, whoa. She said, it's not what you're doing wrong, it's what you're doing right. That's why the devil is against you, because of what's right in your life. It's not because of what you're doing wrong, it's because of what you've done right. It's because of where you're going and where you're headed. You're headed. And I heard Heath several years ago at the old church said, Jesus told his disciples, Mark chapter 4, previous to Mark chapter 5, he come down and he met his disciples and said, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. We're going to take a cruise today, boys. Some of you have been on cruises lately. You ain't never had if you had a cruise like this, you would be taking any more cruises. I promise you. I promise you. And this is what happened. And so they got in the ship to go to the other side. They hadn't been out in the water on the Lake of Genesaret or the Sea of Galilee very long when this huge wind, this huge storm came up. This huge storm. And these men were seasoned fishermen. They knew the way of the sea. They knew about fishing. They knew what it was to be about turbulent winds and rough waves. They knew all about this. But this was a different kind of storm. You know, it's amazing how God gets blamed for all the storms upon the earth. When I hear people say all the time, I would never serve a God who would destroy people with hurricanes and destroy and take people's life, young people's life. Do you know that there is a course of nature that's set in motion, but there is also the prince of this air who also creates storms. And the design of those storms is to take people out before they reach their destination. To take you out. To take you out. All right, I want you to think of something. Think about something here for just a minute. How many storms have you come through in your life to get right here where you are? How many times in your life could you've already been history? Could you've already been behind a tombstone up on a hill somewhere? Somebody coming to you, putting flowers on your grave, saying, oh, what a nice guy Regan Vaughn was. Oh, what he did. What, you know, or this or that. How many times has the enemy come against you in a way that he could have took your life out. He could have taken your life out. The purpose of that storm was to upsize that boat and that vessel to destroy those disciples and stop the mission that God had for their life. God has a plan for your life, and he's intended for you to get to the other side so you can do the business God called you and ordained for you. Do you believe that? So I'm thinking the storms. Wow, storms years ago. When I was a child, I was born into turbulent years. Turbulent years. 5 years old, I was taught sexual promiscuity. I come to a dark world as a child. Dark world as a child. Storms, storms, and storms that could have taken my life, who could have changed my course and altered God's plan for me. And maybe had it not been for the Lord, I wouldn't been here today with the privilege of speaking into your heart and your mind had not God brought me through the storms of this life. How many has ever come to a storm before in your life? Not many people, huh? I said, how many in here will be real with me and say, Pastor, I've come through a storm. I've been through storms. There have been times, had it not been for the Lord, I wouldn't have been here today. And some of you, amen and real loud, like you know that's resonating in your spirit, because you know, had it not been for the Lord, had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't have made it when you was a kid. Some of you come through storms as a child. When you was a kid, you wouldn't have made it as a kid. And as a teenager, some of you had endured storms as you was a teenager, as a young adult, as a young adult in life, grasping hold of life. Some of you have come through turbulent times. You've come through strong winds, crashing waves, and your life was in trouble. The Bible said, the scripture said they were in jeopardy. Their lives were in trouble. And they become afraid. Wow. They become afraid. They become scared. They become terrified. These were seasoned. You got that picture, Becky, of that ship somewhere up there? These were seasoned fishermen. These were men who knew about the sea, but they never seen a storm like this. God wants to remind you today that it was him that brought you through that storm. Oh, let me say it again. Some of you not wrapping your heart around this. The Lord says it was him that brought you through that storm. It wasn't you. It wasn't your skill. It wasn't your wit. It was the presence of God. Even though you didn't realize that God was on your boat or on your ship, it was Jesus, Kathy, that brought you through that storm, because he has a purpose for you on the other side. And they began to call out, Jake, Jesus. You know what? Jesus was on board the ship, Tony. He hadn't gone nowhere. He didn't walk out of the ship and go anywhere. He was right under the ship, in the stern of the ship, on a pillow, a big, nice, fluffy pillow. I don't know what the pillow was. It may have not been a designer pillow, but he was laying on something as a pillow, and he was fast asleep. He wasn't worried about the wind and the waves. You know why? Because he's the master of the wind and the waves. Amen. He wasn't worried about what the devil was trying to do, because he has been given all power and authority over all the powers of the enemy. But they awoke him. They shook him and woke him up. He got up and he came up and he gave them a Jesus rebuke like Mrs. R gave me. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Am I not with you? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Right now's the time to trust me. Right now's the time to know that I'm here. Right now is the time to know that I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through, but Jesus never forsakes his own. Amen. Even though you felt forsaken and abandoned before. Anybody real in here today with me? Oh, I ain't never felt abandoned or forsaken, Pastor. Yes, you are. Maybe you need to pray about lying up here today. Okay? We'll cast the spirit of lying out of you. Because we've all been there. We've all wondered, Lord, where are you? Where are you in all this, Lord? What's going on in my life? What's going on in my life? Jesus told his disciples something they should have remembered. We're going to the other side. Nothing changed that. The storm wasn't going to change that. Nothing that was going to happen that day was going to change that, because Jesus had began this mission. Jesus began a mission in you. A work. It's God that's working in you both to accomplish and do his good will. It is God that's working in you. It is God that's working in you. It is God that's working in you. It's God that's working in you. Do you get that? Do you get that? Do you get that? It's God that's working in you. Now I'm about to get happy. I'm trying to stay cool because I know sometimes I scare some of you all. Because he had something for them to do on the other side. So he stood up. He woke up. Been asleep. Woke up. Maybe rubbed his eyes like we do when we get up from sleepy. And he just looked out over that storm and he said, shut up, storm. Peace. Peace, be still. And immediately there was a calm that came over those waves and those winds just died down. Wow, think about that. Think about what they visualized. Josh, if you and I were on board with Jesus and we saw Jesus rebuke a hurricane, a violent hurricane, and immediately things change. Wow, would we not be in awe about that? Yes, I'd ride home a few times to mama about that. Guess what I just saw? Guess what I just experienced? Wow, think about that. Think about what they saw that day. And Jesus said, where's your faith? He rebuked the wind and the waves. And they said, listen to this. We missed this. We missed this, Heath. They said, wow, what manner of man is this? Who is this? They've been walking with him. They knew him. They followed him. They'd seen other things that Jesus done. And suddenly, they didn't know who he was. Well, who is this man? How many knows that Jesus will always amaze us? Amen. Listen, if you have lost your wonder and your amazement, it's time you get it back. They didn't even really know who he was. They reached the other side. Mark chapter 5. This is in Luke chapter 8 too. And the Bible said that they had gone across the sea to come into a place called Gadara. Gadara. And this place was made up of 10 cities, 10 provinces. And they were all Gentiles who loved to raise pigs. Jesus took Jewish men of Jewish descent across a lake through a storm to reach a place that was full of dirty swine. Now, I know that I just probably broke one of your commandments. Do not talk about my bacon or my sausage, okay? My pork chops. You know, and thank the Lord for Peter, who got that revelation in the book of Acts. Amen. Who called all things clean. But to the Jewish people, this was taboo. You don't go over there. And these provinces were full of Gentiles. We don't go near those people. And they handled dirty hogs in the meantime. We don't want to go near those people. But Jesus had business here in this province and this area. And the Bible says, immediately as he got out of the ship and they landed that boat, guess who met them first? Guess what met them first? Oh, not just a demon. Oh, there were many demons that met them. In fact, there was a man so mad and so crazy and so full and enraged of the devil. The Bible says that no man could tame him. That he run and he made his place in the tombs. He run through the tombs at night. He dwelled among the dead. He slept with the dead. He dwelt among the tombs. And many times he was so outraged and so enslaved by his dominion of those evil spirits that he tried to cut himself and end his own life with rocks. He tried to cut himself. When people tried to contain him and chain and fetter him, he was so enraged and so strong, he broke the chains and fetters. No man. He ran naked through the hillside, screaming, going in my wild, raging torrents. Now listen, we get a little disturbed sometimes when something's a little bit off key. Can I say something to you, people of God? You ain't seen nothing yet. If footmen tire you and discourage you and send you running, what will happen when horsemen, when the enemy rides in on a cavalry? I'm saying we got to know who we are. We got to know who we are so we can stand in what we are. Amen. And take authority over all the powers of the enemy. So a man that was possessed, you know what? And for years, I taught this. This man had 2,000 evil spirits. The Bible don't say he had 2,000 evil spirits. He had more than 2,000. And when he came and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he worshiped Jesus, he said this, Jesus, Son of God, why have you come here? Why have you come here to torment us? Jesus, listen, I want you to get this. These demons knew who Jesus was. The disciples on board the ship didn't even know who Jesus was. And they were following him. But when those demons came under Jesus' earth of authority, they cried out and they fell down and they worshiped. Not everything that we identify as worship is worship. But they fell down at Jesus' feet and they worshiped him and they cried out, Son of God, why have you come here to torment us? And Jesus never did have a conversation with the devil. He never did walk up and have tea with him. He never did sit down and have a burger with him, a lamb chop. He never did say, let's discuss the business at hand and talk about these things. Listen, when Jesus came in contact with a demon, this is what he did. Out! Out of him. Quit talking with the devil. Quit talking with him. He wants your attention. He wants our attention. He wants our focus. He wants it to be about him. And not about the business at hand. Because he is the major distractor. He's the one that wants to take our mind and our heart off the mission that God has set for us. Amen. Somebody said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Anything to get you off the mission. Anything to keep you from your purpose and your mission. And they cried out and they tried to make a deal with Jesus. They tried to make a deal with Jesus. Can I say this? God didn't call us to make deals with the devil. Oh, let's make a deal. No, no, no. That's not the way it is. Let's don't make a deal. Let's don't make a deal. I'm the head here. I'm not the tail. God has given me authority over you. And in the name of Jesus, you've got to leave. You've got to flee. You've got to back up and be gone in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Oh, man, this man was... The Bible says Jesus said, what's your name? He said, Legion. What the Passion Translation says, mob. But in the Greek, it means legion, which is an organized group of militants. Let me tell you something. The devil may create chaos. He's caused chaos in El Paso. He's caused chaos in Dayton, Ohio. He creates chaos in the earth. He creates chaos in your family and in your home. He tries to create that chaos. But let me tell you, he is not chaotic in his order. He is very ordered. That means he has dominion and powers, and he sets principalities over areas and regions. His military might is very strategic and very organized. He creates chaos through his strategy because he wants to incite fear and chaos in people's lives. But the devil is out to take you down. He wants to destroy the purpose and plan. He don't have anything against you personally. You do not rattle the devil at all. There's nothing about your personal DNA or your name or your pedigree that worries the devil. It's about the purpose. It's about the plan. It's about the Jesus inside of you. That's what concerns the devil. Do you understand that? Getting ready to tie the boat here pretty soon. He's against the purpose that God has placed in this ministry, the vision that God has placed. He is about that purpose. He is about where we are. Now, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus said, they said, listen, Jesus. There's a herd of swine over there. Now, it's believed that there was nearly 2,000 swine. So, when we get 2,000 evil spirits, according to Bible and according to study and research, this man could have had upwards 6,000 demonic entities or presence influencing him and controlling his life. That's a lot of evil. That's a lot of terror. Let me tell you, that's a lot of terror. This man's life was torn apart. He was wrecked. And they said, there's a herd of swine over there. And there was probably 2,000 swine. Can I tell you something? I was looking at this. This is really interesting. These 2,000 swine that was getting ready to be possessed by over 6,000 evil spirits turned a lucrative business, fluent business over for those Gentile herdsmen. You know what, in present day lingo, what those 2,000 pigs would have brought in market? Over $250,000. So no wonder these Gentiles got mad at Jesus when he cast them out and he destroyed their swine, their herd of swine. And Kathy and I was discussing that this morning. Listen, people who are used by the devil as pawns to incite sinful living or lifestyles, we got to think about this. They don't care about your kids. You think a pill pusher cares about your children? They care about your grandma, your grandpa. They care about your family. Listen, people who deal in drugs, they don't care, because what they're after is the money. Boy, you'd be surprised what money will do to people. It'll cause people to fall out and fight against each other over a few dollars. Wow, a few dollars. You know, the people who produce the porn industry, do you think they care about your mind and about your relationships and about your family? Do you think they care about that? But no, sex sells. And so what they do is they pump the internet and they pump the media full of this kind of stuff so it can incite us. What they're interested in is not your well-being. They're interested in the money. Money is not the root of all evil. Let's quote that right. Money is not the root of evil. God doesn't care for you to have money. God doesn't want the money to have you. That's not your life. That's not who you are. Let's quote it right. The love of money is the root of evil. Amen. Because people who love it enough that they sell their soul to the devil. So, let's make a deal, Jesus. Whatever you do, don't throw us into the abyss. Don't cast us into the abyss. It's a bottomless pit. We're enslaved. Demonic entities are enslaved. Don't cast us into that place. Whatever you do, don't throw us out. There's a herd of pigs over there. How about throwing us in those pigs? In the King James Version, it says, whatever you do, don't throw us out of the country. Oh, you missed that one. Don't throw us out of this territory right here. Don't throw us out of this territory, because we rule and we control this territory. We rule and we reign. We're the prince of air here. We're principalities that manipulate and control. Don't you think that the devil uses drugs in some area of the country more than he does in other areas of the country? Why? Because it's a stronghold. He creates strongholds. He controls areas through rule, through strongholds. He influences people. I'm going to say something that's probably not news to you. Southeast Kentucky, Northeast Tennessee, and Southwest Virginia. And this is statistically one of the highest drug-infested area by population in the United States. You know, we can bury our head under the sand and say it don't exist. There's no problem. The problem, oh, listen, and we just started here. Hang on, don't you lose me right now, because God's getting ready to tie the boat, and this is the part that we need to hang on to. Whatever you do, don't get rid of us. Don't throw us out of the country. You know why? He didn't want Jesus to throw him out of the country, because he controlled that region. He controlled that. He manipulated. He controlled that. Whatever you do, don't throw us out. Throw us in the pigs, but don't throw us out. Let me tell you what else he uses to control. Oh, I know some of you maybe not going to like this. There's another stronghold here that is against the stronghold, the progression of the stronghold, to tear that stronghold down. It's called religion. You see, if more of the people of God would get our hearts together instead of competing against each other. And you know, when the devil has us fighting against each other about religious doctrine and traditions, you know what the devil's doing? Yay. Yay. Yes. I'm doing what I need to do, because drugs are not being effective in changing, just simply because the people of God who've been set on this mission to bring change, it's not bringing the dimension of change we need to, because we're bound by our religion. Bless God, I'm not going to change my mind for nothing and nobody. If it's Jesus, then you do that. If it's something that's just been instilled in you and it has no spiritual or scriptural foundation, then it's a stronghold. And so this is what happened. Don't throw us out of the country. Don't throw us out of the country. Because it's really about the devil not letting you go of things you're hanging on to. He don't want you to change. He don't want life to change. He don't want people's lives to change. He don't want people healed. He don't want people set free. He don't want people delivered. He don't want people to find freedom. He wants enslavement and mind control and manipulation, and he wants to create strongholds and fortifications in areas where he controls and he calls the shots. And he uses things like politics and religion and people's personal agenda and to incite and to bring about a huge control over an area. But let me tell you what happened. Jesus cast them out. Be gone! And those spirits had to leave that man. Woo! They had to leave that man. And they ran and they jumped into the embodiment of those swine, 2,000 swine. And the Bible says they ran. Those swine went crazy. They ran over the cliff and they drowned into the sea. They were cast into the abyss. Think about that. And our Gadarene, man, our legion, the Bible said he was clothed in his right mind. They clothed him. They put clothes around his naked body, his beaten, cut up body. He was in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. Wow, let me tell you, what manner of man is this? He has authority over the winds and the waves. He can speak to demons. Listen, the same Jesus is the Jesus that lives in you, my sister, my daughter, God's daughter. It's the same Jesus that lives in you. It's the same Jesus that lives in you. It's the same Jesus that lives in you. I said, it's the same Jesus that lives in you. Do you get that? Was clothed in his right mind. Oh, Miss Holly, Miss Evie, different ones went over there yesterday. I don't know who all well. Camilla, I don't know who all went over there to run in that. And I don't know why I'm going to say this, mention this right now. They run in that 5K. Is that right? I didn't dream that, did I? Okay, I didn't dream that you sent that to me, right? They did. They actually run a 5K race. And I'm saying that to say this. Well, hoopla, what does that got to do with the price of tea in China? Let me tell you, these people, with Jesus' help, are clothed in the right mind, following Jesus. Lives that were torn by drugs and addiction and alcohol and all kinds of craziness in this life are now living a productive life as best they can. Not perfect, but following Jesus. Amen. That's something to get excited about. That's something to write home about. Jesus will set the captive free, Jim. He'll set the captive free. He'll set you free. Woo! He'll set you free. He'll set you free, Josh. He'll set you free. You know why? Why you wrote me that text yesterday that put a spark in my plug? You know why I did that? And I answered back, but I don't know if you got it because I didn't hear anything else back. But listen, he said, I'm excited about coming this morning. You know what? We ought to be excited about coming to worship the God who has all authority, amen, who controls the winds and the waves, amen, who speaks calm to your storms, who raises the dead to life, who heals the blinded eyes and mends the broken heart. Because he was talking about early in the week, about dropping weasels. It makes a difference when you drop something you don't need. Oh, man. Your Jesus rebuke was appreciated. I don't know why I'm going through. Why? What am I doing wrong? And God said to her, it's not what you're doing wrong. It's what you're doing right. It's because of where you are. It's because of where you are. The devil don't want you here. He wants you out there crazy in your mind on drugs. Your family's so spread and destroyed. You've got dysfunction to the 10th degree. You don't know your head from your tail. You don't know whether you're coming or going. That's the state he wants you in. But today, in Jesus' name, he cannot have you, or he cannot have this body of believers. Because I'm going to fight for the territory. You can tuck your tail in and run if you want to. But I'm going to fight for the territory. Because anywhere that there is powerful purpose, there's going to be powerful opposition. Do you see that? Instead of we think, because all these problems are coming against me, what am I doing wrong, Jesus? I just feel like quitting. I'm just going to quit church. I'm just going to quit worshiping Jesus because all these things are coming against me. That's when we ought to get excited. Amen. That's when we ought to get excited. That's when we ought to start standing up and saying, thank you, Lord, that I must be doing something right and I must be going in the right direction. Because the devil wants your stuff. Let me get real serious now. The devil wants your family. Hello? He wants your family. He wants your children. He wants them on drugs. He wants them messed up in perversion. He wants your children. He wants your family. He wants your family to live in dysfunction, if you call it living. He wants you in that place. But the moment, the moment you step out of the boat and you start walking in your purpose and plan, that's when hell breaks out. Oh, that's when all hell breaks out. Because it's against what God is for in your life. That's why he's trying to take you down. Do you understand that? Whoa. That's why he's trying to take you down. because of where you are in your life going forward, Josh. He's not the buddy you want to go work out with and lift weights with. He's not the buddy you want to go hang out and have a burger with, because he's out to destroy your family, your children, separate you, destroy you. Do you get that? He's out to try to take this ministry down. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Do you think when we arrive, listen, oh, I'll tell you something else that causes demons. Oh, when you cross boundaries, when you cross ethnicity and nationality, and you cross boundaries to incite change, man, the devil don't want all kindred tongue and races and people worshiping together. You know what? He wants us to all be separated, doing our own little thing, doing our own little thing. He don't want people to come together under one banner. That's called the banner of Jesus, and worship Jesus in spirit and truth. He wants us all separated. And if he can use politics, or if he can use religion, or if he can use race, whatever the thing, he's about division. Do you understand that? Because, let me tell you, oh, Jesus, I can tell you a few stories, but we don't have time, and I've got to tie the boat right here. But I'll tell you, years ago, Becky, where's Becky? Where'd she go? All right, Miss Becky, I need you. I need you. Time for you to get off the perch. We appreciate all the wonderful things you do up there and all the people who work up there. It's incredible. We need them. I just want you to be a witness to me. I don't want you to let these people think that I'm telling them a big story right here. Before I even started become senior pastor at what was Cornerstone Ministry, do you remember a service where God spoke a prophetic word through myself, and I said, God is calling us to reach new territories. New territories to bring forth change. I didn't know anything about all of this stuff. To bring forth change. That was before Heath got on board. That was before other family got on board. And that was years ago. Your mama and was leading worship, and Deacon Rick was there, and Sister Willie was there, and Sister Helen, and Billy was there, maybe, I don't know, and Juanita, there were people there. And that night, it was a Sunday evening, God had me speak and prophetically spoke that word. And the pastor, existing pastor, was still there. And maybe I was youth pastoring, I'm not sure. But the Lord said prophetically, he says, I'm going to call you to go into a new land. And I'm going to take it. You're going to take new territory. And you're going to bring forth change in that territory. And the battle would be fierce, that the enemy would not hand this over to us on a silver platter, that we would have to fight for the territory. Do you realize that? God didn't bring us this far to cause us to go to sleep and quit our mission. Amen. God spoke prophetically to Becky one night. God gave her a vision of a youth camp and property and land that God would cause us to take and get so we could raise up a camp to train young men and women to be worshipers of Jesus, to incite change and to bring change in their world. Camp Benaiah. Some of you don't even know that. It's up on the hill. Well, I didn't know there was a youth camp up on the hill. Wow. Did you know there was a youth camp up on the hill? calling those things that are not as though they already are. That youth camp is up there. There's a conference center and a retreat center up there. There's cabins around that where young men and women will come and they'll be trained, and we'll train other people here. Listen, in worship, we'll train other people in warfare. We'll train other people in walking in the authority and the gifts and callings of God. That's up there. Listen, I may not be there to see the opening of that conference center and that retreat center, but you all will be, amen? You'll see it done. Your children, your sons and daughters will see it done. Livia, maybe your kids. Whew, worship up there. Amen. Inhabit that place. Man, that excites me. Thank you, Becky. Thank you for being visionary, because we all need a vision, amen? Can I say something about the territory? The devil don't want us here where we are. I didn't say this. Tiffany told me this piece of news. And years ago, I didn't know this. These communities were so diverse and different that there were actually two communities up here. There was an African-American community, and there was the Caucasian, a white community. I did not know that the bridge that you drive under to come up here is the geographic dividing point between these two communities. What is God saying? God says, I'm causing people to bring forth change. I'm causing people to come together. How many knows that we got to come together? Amen? We got to come together. Is anybody with me today? Anybody with me? We got to come together. We got to worship God. We got to do that together. There's more power and strength than unity. There's more power and strength than unity. And the devil has fought us. The enemy has fought us. He's resisted. He's even resisted more since we walked with that cross. Some of you didn't know this. We hiked with a cross from the old present church location. 7 miles. There was a caravan of people walking beside the highway with police escort and leading, carrying this cross by different people. And we've done it more than one time. But the first time we did it, that cross is stuck in the hill there. We walked on this property that we saw at that time that we did not even own at that time. And we say, God, thank you for giving us this property. And we'll raise this up. We'll dedicate this for the glory of God. This territory, this property is for the glory of God. It's not for the glory of man. It's for the glory of God. Amen. And when you're on a mission to bring effect change, the devil's going to hit you right in the face. He's going to try to stop it. Why do you think the enemy tries to stop you constantly? Because of the potential, because of the territory, because of what you're going to do. Jesus had to walk through a storm to save that little, scrawny, powerful, demon-possessed man. Jesus walked through a storm to get him there. And if Jesus walked through a storm to get to that man that was possessed with 6,000 plus evil spirits, what do you think Jesus has had to walk through to get to you? Amen? Think about that, Josh. What has he come through to get to you? Let me tell you what he did. He walked up the Via Dolorosa. He walked up a hill called Calvary. He hung at a hitching post and he allowed himself to be beaten to beyond recognition. He carried a cross all the way up that hill. He allowed himself. Rome did not take him. Rome did not take him out. Jesus offered himself on an altar of sacrifice that he might redeem a race that would effect change upon a world that's broken with sin. Think about that. Oh. And as sure as you're sitting here today, and the purpose of God, and the strategy of God, and the place of God you're in today, the enemy is against that. So you wonder, why do we fight so many battles? Why does the enemy try to throw so much crazy stuff at us, at you? I'm going to tie the boat right here. We miss this part of the story. We just say the demonic just got set free. Hallelujah. Shout Jesus. Woo, Jesus. He got set free. But he was clothed in his right mind. And when Jesus would leave that province and go back to the other side, the Bible said that he, listen to me, he wanted to go with them. Let me go with you, Jesus. Woo, let me go with you. Just let me go with you. Just let me go with you. Hang on. Just let me go with you. You know what Jesus said? No. I want you to go back. I want you to go back into your village, to your province. The Gospel of Luke says, in the last verse, that he went and he told the story to all 10 provinces. He shared the good news of Jesus. Do you know what came out of that? A revival, and all of those Gentiles got a hold of Jesus because of that one little demonic man that got set free. You know what? God wants to use you to birth and bring revival to a lost and dying world. Do you know that? And Steph, he'll use you anywhere. He'll use you in the prison. He'll cause you to witness to little secretaries. He'll cause you to tell other people about Jesus. Something will rise up in within you. The story, the wonder working story of Jesus will birth inside of you, and you'll go forth and you'll tell others, and they'll tell others, and other people will come to Jesus. There are people waiting to hear your story. Trisha, there's people waiting to hear your story. I'm so proud of you, girl. I'm so proud of you. You've been faithful. You got a hold of Jesus. I believe you got a hold of the whole. You got a hold of the real stuff. How many knows that you sometimes just look at people and say, "Woo, man, something happened to that person." Anybody with me here today? Any real people with me today? I'm getting ready to get you up and dance a little bit, brother. Jesus will make a change in your life. Jesus will make a change in your life. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for what you're doing in these people. We're going to change the world. I know you hear that and you just say, oh, just them preachers, they just say that stuff to make you feel good about yourself. You know, that's just them preachers saying that stuff just to make you feel good. The best is yet to come. And if I'm not physically here present in this world, listen, and you come by me, if you would think enough to come by and just pay me a little farewell, and you came by, listen, and you say something, you can say this: that crazy old preacher knew what he was talking about all the time. It's because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what he's talking about. I know what he can do. I know what Jesus can do. I know what Jesus can do. And if he gets in the heart of a bunch of people, wrap their hearts around him, he'll change the world. He'll change the world around us. Amen. So tying the boat here, think. Let people talk. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Every dogmented comment or speech are from people who don't know our heart. They don't know our vision. They've never preached in the trenches with me. They've never seen the things that we've come through. They've never fought the battles or gone through the storms I did. So let those people talk. Let people talk about you for loving Jesus and worshiping Jesus. Just let them talk about. And when you do, you sit back. Don't get on Facebook. Don't get on there and slam back and forth with them. Listen, just give praise to Jesus. Thank God that I'm worthy to suffer with Jesus. You think if they talked about Jesus, your elder brother, they wouldn't talk about you? Call you a crazy old motorcycle dude? You think they're not going to talk about you, Rick? Oh. I didn't say that that's fun all the time. Poor old Pastor R, his elevator don't go all the way up. I feel sorry for him. He's a brick shy of a load. Oh, let me tell you a few things. I may not be as smart as you, but I know a God who can. I know a Jesus who can. I know a Jesus who still wakes up the dead. I know a Jesus who still opens blinded eyes. I know a Jesus who still causes the cripple to walk. I know a Jesus who still heals the leper. Amen. I know a man who can. Do you know somebody who can? If you do, get to your feet and give that man some praise. Come on, don't give me praise. Give him praise. Is that all you got? Is that all you got? Give the king some praise. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. He's going to use you. He's going to use you to mess up the devil's playground, to mess up the devil's world. You're going to walk right in to those places. And what Jesus has done in you is going to speak out to other people. Oh, you're going to be bringing people with you. Woo, people are going to want to come. You're going to be just like that old. You know what the Bible said? When Jesus had cast those spirits into those pigs, stay right there, we're closing, okay? We're not going to preach another 10 minutes, okay? But when they came, the Bible says all the provinces, all the place where the demonic man was from, they came out to see for themselves. You know what? I love it. I love it. If people don't come here no more than just for curiosity, then that's wonderful. I heard they handle snakes up there. Oh no, we don't handle snakes. We step on snakes. We step on snakes. Well, I heard they make sacrifices up there. I heard they got altars up there and blood dripping all from them. Make sacrifice. I don't know if anybody says that or not. I'm just thinking. And listen, there were some other churches around here that were called cults at one time. But you know what? So God brought somebody else up. And so I've heard people say, well, at least they quit talking about us. And they're talking about you now. So thank the Lord. Everybody say, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
That I'm
free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
Jesus. Jesus, you got joy, Amira. You got joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy down in your heart. Joy because you're not who you used to be. Oh, you're not the demonic man you used to be. You're not the possessed woman you used to be. You've been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Now God has sent you forth to the other side to affect change on the world around you. Can I say this? Let's go change the world. Amen.